I always wear my Halloween costume.
Ever ready to go.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Very well.
Boy, they've been working Andy like a dog. Yeah, Kevin Powell was on his paternity leave. And
yeah, it was only 6 weeks, but who was counting?
Every time I turned on the radio, I heard Andy Mazur. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That's okay. Good.
Yeah, I need the work.
Right. Well, right. It's not a bad thing, right?
No,
it's a good thing. It's always nice to be wanted. Well, yes. Nice to have you back on a Saturday morning.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah. Little, Don, how are you? You're good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very, very well. Thank you. Just enjoying the fall weather we got going here.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
just gorgeous. We're having a little technical difficulty with getting Lindsay's mic working, but we can talk without her. I have a question. Have either of you... I just played that payphone open this morning,
yeah.
and have you ever shopped or bought anything at a Wayfair?
Yes.
No, not okay. Personally.
My wife was, I dropped her off. There's like a Wayfair store in Wilmette.
Yeah, they just opened it. The old Eden's
Enormous.
Plaza, right?
Yeah. Right, okay. Right. What's that plaza called?
Eden's Plaza,
right? Yeah. Used to be the old Carson's.
Right.
And so I think my wife was getting her hair done, and I was dropping her off and waiting for her. It was like a quick little thing. We were going to dinner or something like that. And I'm outside this Wayfair. The amount of people that were going in and out of that store, it's like they were giving stuff away.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. On that end of the parking lot, you couldn't even get into the place.
Oh, man.
And then at the other end where there's the Walgreens, boy, you go to the Walgreens, no problem. You know, it wasn't right. an issue right. whatsoever. And so I always get fed, you know, on Instagram, like these Wayfair, you know, ads of like, oh, buy this at Wayfair. And then my only experience with Wayfair was my daughter-in-law purchased some kind of desk or something during COVID.
Mm.
And she bought this thing and said, oh, you know, could you put this thing together for me? I'm going to use it, you know, working from home type of thing. And so I did. Well, there's Lindsay.
Well, hi, Lindsay.
That's Lindsay.
Hello.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay. Sounds great. All right, we're going to turn that off because
so
that'll drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, it was not well made.
Oh, yeah.
That was my thing.
Well, that's what I've heard. That's the people that I know who have bought it. I mean, not all, but some of the
Love Kelly Clarkson. Love her. She's great.
Of
she course. Looks fabulous. She sounds great.
I only
wish her the most success in the world. But then, so this is what's getting fed to me on Wayfair. You can buy like a classic old payphone.
Hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. You know, like that hangs on the wall.
Yeah.
And Andy, remember the one, the older one where you would pull the handle down and then the quarter that it would put you in, it would like slide it out and you stick your finger in and pull it up and then pop back up. Like
mm-hmm.
the old one with the rotary dial.
Yep.
I so want one of those.
Wow.
And I just want to hang it in the house. I'll never get approval for that. But I just think it would be so cool.
Be like a museum exhibit in the home.
Like the old Brady Bunch episode. Where they put a payphone in because the kids were using all the phone.
The kids were using the phone all the time. That's
and he's
good.
Charging them a
That's
dime good. Every time they called
right,
somebody.
Right, right. Don, you've never used a payphone.
No, I mean, I've been in the booths. Like, I remember, you know, some of the ones around, like, the Morton Grove and Northern Suburbs before they tore them all down. Like, I would go in and use the booth for shelter during rain or something, but never used it, no.
I needed you, Andy.
Yeah.
I think it was either last week or 2 weeks ago. I was talking about my wife and I went to go see Graham Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he told all these stories about writing all these songs, and I played, like, the Marrakesh, and I played the song Bus Stop by the Hollies, and then I played another song by them. I had Kevin Wells, I had Don, I had Lindsay.
Yep.
None of them had heard this song ever.
No,
here's Lindsay by the way.
Hi, Lindsay.
There she is.
Hi.
There she is. She's going crazy right now, trying to figure out why that's doing that. Anyway, none of them. You never heard this song, the Marrakesh? No,
oh, man.
You never heard Bus Stop by the Hollies?
Bus Stop, Busco.
Right?
Yeah.
And
No.
Like, where's Andy now? Sleeping.
It's true. I felt bad.
Please share my umbrella.
Right. Anyway, it was pretty funny. A couple things I want to tease a little bit. I have Lindsay has a really good word of the day coming up at 7 o'clock.
Nice. Okay.
And it has a little personal connection about a story that I'm going to tell. And I'm going to use the word that when she knew about what I'm going to tell, and she goes, and when I was allowed to share this information, which I'll do after 7 o'clock this morning, she goes, "Oh my God, I have the word of the day." I go, "What are you talking about? I have to figure it out. I left it on an email. I have it." And she emails me back. Yeah, I got the word. Like she's had it because she's known.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's good.
Coming up, word of the day. That's what they call in the business. A little tease.
Nice. Yes, sir.
857-5574-LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines and say good morning to Sue, who's in Schaumburg. Good morning, Sue. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Hoping you can give me some guidance.
Me too.
I live in a townhouse situation, and my living room and kitchen are, I'm on a slab. I don't have a basement. And back in December of 21, I had luxury vinyl laminate plank flooring put in the kitchen and living room. And at the beginning of this year, sort of end of last year, the kitchen, some sections in the kitchen, the planks have been popping, and they've been bowing up. They're like a little cup, sort of. And it's so bad that I've actually had to put sort of like a rug under my chair because I've tripped on it. It's lifted so much, I've tripped on it. And I've sort of peeled back a couple of the planks, the sections on the top layer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I need to have the six.
Mm.
My question is, I don't want this to happen again. When I worked with the reputable company, I specifically asked about a special underlayment since it's on a concrete slab.
Right.
He said, no, it's got it under the plank. It should be fine. Well, they installed in the kitchen the planks over the old peel-and-stick vinyl square tiles.
Okay.
They didn't remove them or anything. So my question to you is, do you know what could be caused this? And how do I prevent this from happening again once I have the floor fixed?
Okay. So in the kitchen, it's over the old peel and stick tile, but in the rest of the room, it's on the concrete slab.
Correct.
And where specifically is it peeling? Over the tile or over the concrete? Or everywhere?
Just in a small section in the kitchen.
Just,
so like sort of the section, just over the peel and stick tile.
Okay. So it's just a small section in the kitchen. And is that in between a couple of cabinets? Is it near a refrigerator? What's going on there?
It's not near a water source. It's next to the cabinets and sort of my kitchen table.
And the kitchen table. Okay. And,
it's not a large kitchen, by the way.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering if... So the biggest thing with the luxury vinyl is that you do need to have a big enough gap around... My guess is they cut the tile too tightly against the cabinets, and when it expands and contracts, that's where you're getting the lift. And so...
Okay.
This is all just new, right? This all just happened... When did the floor go down?
The floor went down December of 21, and this just sort of started happening. Like, I started noticing the lifting maybe last fall,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, okay, well, maybe it's because it's sections that I'm not really walking on very often. So, okay.
So here's the thing, just for anybody listening, including yourself. If you're spending the money to have a floor put down, especially with this luxury vinyl, there's no excuse of why it should be lifting up other than if something's wrong. And so anybody listening, if you have that problem, like, oh, I think it's just this, you know, like it's not a big deal, call the people back right away or alert them of who you paid to put this floor down because something's not right. When it's put down, It should not lift. My guess is, if you're going to get this company back to do, you know, to repair this, that they cut the flooring too tightly against the cabinet area, and that lift is occurring because it's expanding and contracting. It's hitting the cabinet, right, as it expands, and it's hitting the wall.
Yeah.
And when it does that, it's like, you know, it's trying to stretch, and what happens? It just lifts up, and that's where you get that buckling and or the separation.
Okay. Because I did, I actually did call the guy from the company the beginning of September. He came out, he took pictures, he agreed it didn't look right, it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
I called him back a month later because he didn't call me, and he said he forgot, he apologized, and he said his rep from the company, the flooring company, never got back to him. Okay. So that's 2.5 weeks ago, and now I'm going to call again.
Call again, but also to escalate it as well. You know who the maker of the floor is, correct?
It is, yeah, Novus.
Okay, so go to their website, and along with you calling the guy that put it down and his rep, you're going to go to their customer support on their website, and you're going to start a ticket on their end that you've got this issue with the floor.
Well, the problem is I have done some searches for the company.
Right.
And I'm not finding anything. I'm not finding anything in the United States. I'm finding a Novus in the UK. And I did send in a query. I did type in some information. Have not heard back from them. But I'm not finding anything in the United States. So I don't know if this flooring is even available anymore.
Well, you said it's only 2021, right?
Yeah.
And the company that you bought it from, is it a big flooring company?
They've been around for a long time.
Do they have a showroom?
They do. Yeah, they have a couple of brick and mortar stores.
Okay. Well, then I would go to the brick and mortar store.
Okay.
You just need to get this thing going. The longer you wait, the less chance you have of this getting corrected properly and without any cost to you. It sounds to me like an installation issue, and the people that put it in should fix it.
Okay, fabulous. I'm completely clueless, so this gives me some added information to bring up when I talk to him.
You got it. Good luck. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lou. I really appreciate it. Love your show. Hope you have a lovely day.
You too. 857-5574, Lou. 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. And I hear this a lot from you listening to the show when you call in a lot of times, where there might be a little bit of a problem with something in your home, whether it's a floor or a cabinet or an appliance, whatever it might be. And I think a lot of us, just because maybe... I mean, Sue even said, I'm a little clueless in all this. And when you don't know, you can just make things worse by letting it go. You know, I've always been a proponent of trying to keep the home as well maintained as possible and staying on top of the issues at hand, because it's only going to get worse, right? And you want to try and stay ahead of it. And when stuff like that, in particular, when you hire people to come in and do some work and you spend a lot of money to do that, and then all of a sudden something fails, you've got to hold people accountable so they come back and do the work. And it's all about, you know, keeping their focus and their attention on what's going on. Obviously, you know, in this example of Sue's floor, the person moved on to the next job. I got to go sell another floor. But you need to, part of working with good companies, if you're hiring to get this work done, is that when things go wrong, they come and make them right. And if there's stuff that you're living with, you're like, I'm just not quite sure, get it done, because I promise you it'll cost you more to fix down the line, and there's no reason to live there. Oh, look who's there.
Really? Because I need some help right now, Mr. Fix-It.
Well, I was trying to help you, and there's obviously some issue.
I can do it myself.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're back, but guess what? It's 6:30 in the morning. Time now to head into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Let's go back to the phone lines and see if we can help some folks out this morning. This is Jim calling in. Hey, Jim, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. I redid my deck a couple of years ago, restained it with Green Label Penafin, and it turned black. I redid it again this summer. They used the Green Label Penafin again, and it's all turning black again. I read online that's a potential problem. What do I put on it next time?
Did you contact Penafin?
I did not.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So did you apply it and then wipe it off?
I did.
And when you first got it done, it looked great, right?
Yes.
And then there's got to be some reaction with, and what kind of wood did you put it over? Was it a treated with cedar?
Treated pine.
Treated pine that was dry enough.
Yes.
I would contact Penafin because I don't hear that a lot, and there's got to be some kind of reaction going on, and it almost sounds like there's some kind of bleeding coming through. But when you say it turned black, the whole deck turned black?
Well, or all just, the parts that I can see.
All the parts that you can see. Like,
you know, the horizontal parts especially.
Right. The deck, that what you're walking on, it just all turned black.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds to me like there's some problem with the material itself. That I have been recommending this product forever and have heard none of this ever about this turning black.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good sized deck. It's 600 square feet,
right.
And every bit of the part that I walk on is turned black. And like I said, I redid it this summer, and it's in the process of turning black again.
Okay. I would take a few pictures. I would go to their website. I would contact their customer support. They're a terrific company, and they're not owned by like some giant corporation. I mean, it's a corporation, mm-hmm. but I've spoken to those people, and they're super passionate about their product. And if they have technical reps in the area, even, in the Midwest here, and, I would get into their queue to come out and take a look at it. And, at the very least, they'll be able to probably figure it out and probably at least provide you with the material to redo it. You know, it's kind of like when you get a warranty on the roof. They give you a portion of the material, but they don't put the roof back on for you.
Right. I redid this deck 2 years ago and redid all the upper surfaces, the horizontal and the railings and all that.
Right.
And put, and it took a lot of green Penafin to redo that, to do that the first time. And then, I just thought it was dirty, and I sanded it all down this summer, and same result. So I've spent a lot of money on Penafin.
All I can think of is that there's some kind of reaction with whatever that treated material is, but it's designed to do that. You know what I mean? Like, there's some chemical reaction that's occurring. This should not be happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll contact them and see what they say.
But do me a favor. Will you, and I'm serious about this. When you do contact them and there's some resolution, will you please call us back so we can, talk a little bit more about this? Cause that's not right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. I appreciate you calling us more. 857-5574-LOU, 857-557-4568. Lindsay, I was talking with, Bob Cerrato on my Friday morning show. And I don't know if you know this, but Vicky Kakuzian, which is one of the most fun mm-hmm. names to say, she's leaving WGN. Did you know that?
Oh,
yeah.
I did not spend
more time with her kids. And she's going to, which is sad because it's such a fun name to say. It's not that we can't say the name again, right? But I was thinking,
her spirit alive here.
Right. And it goes back to a while ago when John Williams was just talking about fun things to say, and mm-hmm. And of course Vicky Kakuzian is one, and then now I guess we're going to have to think about Tina Martini, right? Because that's another mm-hmm. fun name to say. But then I was thinking about words. Fun words to say. And I think I may have mentioned the story. We were in Mexico a few years ago, actually last year, and with our entire family, Quinn and Amy and Carmen and Liam and, Mallory and Max and everything. And we got a photographer to take some pictures of us on the beach. You've seen those pictures, mm-hmm. lovely pictures.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And, you know, family pictures, which are very nice. And he was a local photographer. And, you know, Mallory, our daughter Mallory, who's fluent in Spanish, was conversing with him in Spanish. But he really wanted to speak English. And his English, he was a young man, very, you know, was a very, his English was very good, was the point. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then Mallory asks him, what's your favorite word to say in English?
Hmm. Good question.
Okay. And without hesitation, he says this word. Well, so yesterday I'm on with Bob Surratt, and now I'm like, oh, Vicky Kahuzian's leaving, and I can't remember the word. Right? Like, what was the word that he said? So I texted my son Quinn, and I go, hey, remember when we were in Mexico? And he's like, yeah, I remember. But I can't remember the word.
Ugh.
It's going to drive me crazy. And this was early. It was early in the morning when I was texting Quinn, which I'm sure he appreciates because I was up. And so then I text Mallory, who's down in New Orleans, and she doesn't get back to me for an hour. And Quinn goes, what I do remember, it was a word that we don't say a lot, but it was a really good word. And he said it almost within just a couple seconds. Like, I love saying this word. It's just fun to say. Mallory texts me back. The word is shenanigans.
Shenanigans. That's a good one.
That's a good word. You don't say that word a lot.
Oh, you're up to these shenanigans. I really like flibbertigibbet.
Well, right, but that's not the word he said.
No.
Shenanigans was the word. That is not our word of the day. While you were busy trying to get everything going, I mentioned that you've had this word in your back pocket because you were waiting. Because I'm gonna, there's a word. This word is gonna go with a little story that I'm gonna tell after 7 o'clock this morning as well, which I think will be actually two stories.
Oh,
I've been approved for two stories.
Oh, good. Oh,
and you know
I think
that
I know the other one too.
What's that?
I think I know the other one too. Do I know
you
it
do?
Already?
And right, and you know the one thing is that, and Lindsay and I have worked together a very long time. When you tell me that I'm not supposed to say things, I can't stand it.
I have been very proud of you.
Right, and normally I don't listen when people tell me not to say stuff. I just do it, and this one I really couldn't.
No.
Right.
Well,
until I was given approval.
This is a great tease, Lou.
That's what they call a tease in the business. 857-5574-LOU. This is Karen in Wilmette. Hi, Karen. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. We have these two coffee tables, teak coffee tables from Wayfair, which I agree with you. I love that store.
Okay.
And my husband bought a can of teak oil, and he said, you know, put this oil on them. And I looked it up online, and it said if you use teak oil on an outdoor teak furniture, that it'll ruin it. So I'm wondering if I should not put the teak oil on it.
Well, okay, so your Wayfair tables are made of teak?
Yes.
Okay, and they're unfinished?
I guess so.
Well, remember that when you use teak oil, it's not like a... When you look at these tables, are they shiny?
No, they're not shiny.
Okay. Here's what I would do. The looking online using teak oil outside doesn't work. That's what it was designed for, is to you'd be used outside. So that doesn't make... that who's ever saying that to you online doesn't make any sense. What I would do is to make sure that it doesn't have some sort of water repellent finish on it, because this is the thing. The teak oil does not seal the wood like a, you know, some kind of finish that has a shiny, like where the water will bead type of thing, right? So turn the thing upside down. Take a little, you said you bought the teak oil?
Yes, my husband bought it, yeah.
Okay. Take a little bit on a rag and dip it on the underside of the table. If you see that the wood immediately absorbs the teak oil, right? Like it just sucks it up like a sponge. Then there is no finish on it. I mean, no finish in the sense that there's a water repellent finish on there. And then you, yes, of course, can apply the teak oil. But keep in mind, when you use teak oil, it is a yearly proposition.
Oh.
Because the idea behind with teak, when you use teak, with real teak wood and real teak furniture, that oil gets absorbed into the fibers of the wood, and that's what protects the wood from, you know, the water and the elements and whatnot. And that beautiful, when you look at some, you know, when you look at the railing on a sailboat that's teak oil, you know, they're constantly oiling that to keep it protected from the sun and the water and the weather and all that kind of stuff. And the same is true when you're using that on a piece of outdoor furniture. How big are these tables?
They're coffee tables.
Oh, you know, so they're not giant. And you'll take them in the winter?
Yes. Yes, we're about to do that. And I thought, oh, I wonder if I should do this before we
put them in. When did you buy them, and how long have they been outside?
They've been outside since July. We bought them the beginning of July.
Okay, and how do they look?
They look gray. You know, they've kind of turned gray, and they look dry, I would say.
Okay.
Now, when I looked online, it said to use sealer, which we don't have.
No. No, because I don't know a lot about Wayfair. If you are 100% sure that this is teak wood, right?
I think so.
Well, that doesn't sound like 100%.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, we bought teak tables.
Okay, right. So if they're teak tables, okay, take a little sandpaper or a sanding sponge, sand it all down, put the teak oil in a container, like a little container, and take a rag, get two rags, and wear some gloves. And once you've sanded it all down to kind of take away some of the gray, right, and work the crevices if there are, to get it nice and smooth, because I'm sure the grain is raised a little bit, right? Apply that oil, wipe it away with a clean rag, let it sit, if you have a garage, for a day or so just to cure and get absorbed, and then put them away for the winter. And then in the springtime, you'll put them out and they'll look fabulous. And then that will be your, that's what you do.
But you think I'm going to have to do that every year?
I mean, maybe not, because
to keep them.
I mean, here's this is my guess, okay? That when these things are brand new, they put a little bit of oil on it, but not much, because they're making thousands of them, right? And so when you apply this new layer of teak oil that I'm speaking of, you're going to put more of the product on there that is going to hold, you know, is going to be absorbed and be in that wood longer. And, you know, you may do it every other year, not every year.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good tip. Can I ask you one other question? When my friend knew I was going to call you, she said, could you please ask Lou this?
Sure.
She has a top loader washing machine that smells. And she said she ran it a couple times with the cleaner, you know, with no clothes in it, and it still smells. Do you know what she should do?
On the front panel, there's a... The front loader does have a filter that that actually catches.
It's a top loader.
No, I know, but it has a filter at the bottom that when it evacuates the water, it can catch a lot of stuff, and that filter can be cleaned. And if it gets clogged with a bunch of stuff, like an old sock, which it could, that may be where the odor is coming from. So if she has someone, it really is an easy thing to do, but it requires taking the front panel off of the washing machine, which a lot of people won't do. And then there's this filter where you quarter turn it, you pull it out like a oil filter, and it has all this stuff on there. If that's something she doesn't want to do, an appliance company like an Apt Appliance will come out and clean it. But there'll be a service charge for it.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I love your show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. I've had some information that I've been holding on to for a little bit that Lindsay's known about, that I've, you know, as I mentioned, Don and Andy, you know, I was told I can't talk about it. And then I was given approval to talk about it.
You're in the clear.
I'm in the clear. Right. So the word is
really
an adverb.
Proud of you.
Thank you. It's an adverb. We don't do a lot of adverbs.
True,
by the way.
We don't.
True. L-Y.
Yeah. I got it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I changed it to an adverb.
Okay. Oh,
only
I see.
Because
okay.
I fit well with my sentence that I put it in.
Sure,
put
sure.
it into. So
hey, that's the
oh I see.
Words.
Okay, and okay.
Yeah.
So the word, the definition of the word is a way that attempts to avoid notice or attention.
Hmm. Okay.
The word
secretive.
Is.
Surreptitiously.
Very good.
I got
say it again, Ann. Say it again.
Surreptitiously.
Don. Surreptitiously.
Yeah.
I even practiced
like syrup.
The
word.
Yes, like syrup.
I knew it. Yep.
Surreptitiously. So I've been surreptitiously keeping something from you all these past few months.
Whoa.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I'm gonna put it as a Manfredini family update. How's
okay.
that?
Okay, sure.
I'm gonna position it as a Manfredini family update, and there's two very wonderful things that are happening in the Manfredini family. One is for those of you that have listened for a very long time, you know that our daughter Carmen was actually born on a Saturday during this very radio show. When I was on with the great Roy Leonard 28 years ago. Right. On a Saturday, I couldn't make it in because Mary Beth was in labor. Good excuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Indeed.
Not to make it in. And back in September, she and Liam eloped and got married.
Wow.
Nice.
That is so good.
Very cool.
And we're super happy. And they're wonderful. Aww. Liam's wonderful. Carmen's wonderful. And we could not be more blessed to have Liam in our life and her life. And, you know, it's a great example of love wins.
Yeah. So, congratulations.
So congratulations. Sir. Thank you.
Yeah,
for that. But I just, you know, couldn't say anything until I was told that I could say something, right?
Very and then surreptitious the news, of you.
It was very
surreptitious.
I'm
just going to do it just because I can't say the word. And then on another front is that our son Quinn and his wife Amy are going to have a baby.
Nice.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
Expecting.
So,
that's so fun.
We're thrilled with that. And so Mary Beth and I are going to become grandparents. She's due in January.
Wow.
You know, there was a whole waiting of, you know, Don, you can certainly relate
sure.
to this and the timing. You want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
And everything's okay.
That's
and,
great.
And in the realm of, you know, people wanting to know things, we're going to have a granddaughter.
Wow.
Very cool.
Oh, I was just going to ask yeah. about the gender. That's amazing. Granddaughter.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So we're really excited. And evidently a name has been picked out, but we don't know what the name is.
Okay. Really?
So they're being
right.
surreptitious about the name. Okay.
Oh, well done. There he goes.
There you go.
Show off.
Overachiever, Don, right there.
I just like syrup. Yeah. Who doesn't love good waffles and pancakes?
I do love syrup.
Yeah. What's
syrup
not to love?
Is so good.
Yeah. Syrup is so good.
Yeah.
It's like Elf.
Yeah.
Wait, I have some syrup right here, and he pulls it out of his sleeve.
Dude, in elementary school, I would trade kids for their little syrup containers and just take shots of those things.
Oh,
man.
So good.
Yes.
When I used to travel a lot, Andy, you probably did this too, when you know you're in the hotel that served the breakfast, you know, and a lot of times they'd have the waffle maker.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They'd have that, and you'd make your own. And they'd have the pre-mixed. It was actually pretty
good. The batter,
good.
Yeah.
But,
and they'd have the batter, and you'd pour it in the thing, and you'd flip it over. It was like kind of a cool, you're doing your own cooking.
Right.
And then they would have the little syrup packets.
Yes.
So good.
See, my early memories of syrup are at my grandma's house. She would make waffles in an old-fashioned waffle maker.
Right.
She would melt a little butter in a cast iron pot, and she would warm up the syrup. And she ground her own coffee beans.
Oh,
waking up in her house after sleeping over there with my brother was just like heaven. Oh, my. I can still smell it.
I bet.
I can still smell the syrup on the stove.
That's such a good memory.
Oh, my goodness.
Totally.
So Lindsay's good. Texting me, bring it back, bring it back. No, we're talking maple syrup.
This is syrup town, man.
It's syrup talk.
Yeah, let's go.
Right.
Back to baby Manfredini.
Sorry, Lindsay.
I used to love the blueberry syrup.
Syrup.
Oh, that was a good one.
Sure.
When you go to like IHOP.
IHOP with the
boys. When's the last time you were at an IHOP?
It's been a month full of Sundays.
It's been too long.
Tutti Frutti.
Speaking of blueberry. So every week, you know, they do the fruit and the baby, the size of a blueberry. So what is that now? Do you know?
Right. So did Gretchen do this where when you get to go to the doctor, like today, we've been calling the baby Baby M.
Okay.
Because we don't know the name.
Sure. Right.
So it's always like Baby M. And so my daughter-in-law, Amy, would send this little thing. Oh, today Baby M's the size of an avocado.
Yes. Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And there'd be like a little picture of an avocado and then like a little baby thing.
Yeah. So. Gretchen used this app for the same thing. And we called her Baby V because we didn't know if it was boy or girl, but we knew the name would start with a V. So we were doing the same thing for sure.
You think that when she grows up, her friends will call her V?
Possibly, yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, totally.
Because my son's name is Quinn, and a lot of his friends call him Q, and we do too. We call him Q.
I like that.
Just call him Q.
Yeah.
Right.
I like Vi.
Yeah, Vi is definitely what we've Vi's been calling good. Her for sure.
Yeah.
What are they going to, what is Baby M going to call you? Have you decided yet? You
and so I think I'm going to go to traditional Italian, and I'm going to be Nonno. Which is a grandfather, you know, Italian for grandfather. And my wife, I think, is though not Italian, and not actually the proper use of the word, but I think she might be nonni.
Oh,
which in Italian actually it translates to both of the grandparents.
Oh,
like my nonnies.
Okay,
nonna is the actual grandmother, but you know.
Nonny's
I think it'll be up
Peter.
To the baby, because the baby will end up calling, you know, like, whatever the baby starts calling you,
that's it.
And that's what you're going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're ridiculously excited about the grandchild.
Yeah, congratulations.
And,
it's amazing. So exciting.
And we're ridiculously excited about Carmen and Liam.
Yes.
And it's just it's been a very good couple, well, it's been a good 2024, because we've known about the baby, we found out about Carmen, so the last few months have been... We've been elated, another really good word.
Oh, yeah.
How about it? That's
and surreptitiously,
awesome.
I have had not to... Well, I said it right. Anyway, congratulations to Carmen and Liam. We love you very much. Quinn and Amy, we love you very much. And Baby M on the way, January.
What a great holiday season you guys have coming
no
up
Yes, no kidding.
Here.
You're right.
Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. 857-557-4LU, 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines here and speak to, I'm going to say two, which is Joanne in Skokie. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call and congrats on all the good news.
Thank you very much. How may I help you?
I have a Georgian in Skokie, a brick Georgian. And it has a bay window, and there's a metal awning over the bay window, not the kind you roll up, the kind that's sort of affixed to the brick and to the top of the bay window.
Yep.
And there is water. It doesn't drip onto the floor. It looks like it's pooling in the ceiling above the bay above the ceiling under the bay. I had a roofing company come out, and they caulked the window outside. Didn't work. Somebody told me it was the window above on the second floor. I had Velcro come out and replace two windows in the front. And this just keeps on buckling and chipping. And I feel like if somebody came in like a carpenter and carved out that part of the ceiling, like I'd have a waterfall or something.
All right. You have a brick Georgian and you have a bay.
Right.
And so the front of the house has like a bay bow window.
Well, yeah, it's a, you know, like a three windows, a one main one.
Right. And then over that you have like a metal roof.
That's correct.
And the ceiling
and metal roof, right.
Correct. And the ceiling in that bay is what's damaged.
Yes. Well, that's what looks like water damage to me. I mean, the paint is all chipped
buckling. Yeah. And so a roofer came and did some caulking. So that's probably like this is a flashing issue with that. Well, there's a couple things.
Okay.
There's a couple things that could be going on. It could be a tuck pointing issue. There is something called a lintel that is above that opening. So when that opening, when that house was built, that opening was a big rectangle, right? And they bricked around it, and there's a piece of metal called a lintel that goes across the top, which when you're on the inside of your house and you're looking, what you can't see is there's a like a metal angle iron or a C-channel or something up there holding the brick that goes up above on the second floor. And many times that lintel, because of tuck pointing, can be an issue. And many times with those bay bow windows, the way that the metal is flashed into the brick, if it's done improperly, you don't need much with the caulking if it's not working. So here's what I would do. Where are you? In Skokie. Okay, perfect. Call Lindholm Roofing, because they can either do the tuck pointing for you, which you may need. They can redo the flashing, which you may need, and they can kind of figure this this whole thing out. They're very good at this kind of, you know, figuring out where the water's coming from. And, you know, I mean, you got the new windows. That's great. Those should be fine. But there's something else happening around that area that's causing this problem. And I'm not saying that you won't have to open up the ceiling to find out what's going on, but I think it can probably all be fixed from the outside without having to do that.
Okay. So you're thinking that I may need new tuck pointing and, did you say flashing?
The flashing may need to be addressed, how that the roof over the little bow window attaches to the brick. They may be able to put something called counter flashing in, but that could change kind of the look of the front of the house. And they may come back and say, you know what, miss, we really should just replace this metal roof over the top of this thing. That way we can, what they do when it's done properly is they grind a groove into the brick. And then they put, they custom bend the metal to go into that, and then they caulk it. So it's a nice clean line when you're looking at it from the street.
Right. Okay. And they can do that, the roofing company.
Lindholm Roofing can do all of that.
Okay.
Lindsay, Lindholm Roofing has a new 773 number. It's like 773-283 something. So keep listening. I'll give that new number out to you so you can call them. What she's going to tell me what the number is. Hold on. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
Yes, I do.
273-283. I was right about that.
You are 7675.
76 trombones. I'll remember that. 7675. You got that?
Yeah, 7675.
Yep, 273-773-283-7675.
Got it. Perfect. Okay, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. By the way, under Small World, we're going to be talking with the folks at Lindholm Roofing later on today. One of the things that my wife and I just did, you know, we were so excited about the baby and the marriage that we got a new roof. My kids eloped, so I had money to buy a roof. But we were planning the roof, and they did such a nice job that I wanted to talk to them because, it was just really, it is so impressive to watch people work when they know what they're doing. And it was really something to watch this crew, like, the guy on the left knew what the guy on the right was doing, and they were working in concert. It was almost like an orchestra. And we're going to have that share that conversation with you coming up after 8:30 this morning. 857-5574, Lou, is our phone number. 857-557-4568. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We had this pumice soap that was like a powder. It was in a box. I can picture the box. I can picture. It's one of those tactile things. I can feel how that pumice felt on my hands. And it was like you were washing your hands with shards of glass. I mean, you know, when you work with steel, your hands get pretty rough. I'm full of calluses. I'm 18 years old. 19 years old, and my hands are calloused like there's no tomorrow. And you'd break for lunch, and you'd go over to the sink, and you'd scoop, you'd get your hands wet, and then you'd scoop a handful of this stuff in your hand, and then you would scrub. And it was like glass and sand, but it got everything off of your hands. I mean, it completely cleaned your hands and removed some skin.
Totally.
I mean, but it worked. And there was like this weird, I don't know how to describe it. It was like this weird, exfoliant. Painful joy. Yes. It was like an exfoliant. That's what it was. Before we even knew what that word was. Our Noodaloo 2 kind of does the same thing, just doesn't hurt as much.
It's hard to reinvent the wheel, but every now and again, someone can take a product we use on a regular basis and make it better to suit their style. And in turn, maybe suit your style as well. Well, that's exactly what freestyle motocross rider and entrepreneur Bryce Hudson did with hand soap, reinventing his version that scrubs his filthy, greasy, and oily hands clean. And it's called Grip Clean. The secret, not-so-secret ingredient? Mud.
Huh?
That's right. Made from all-natural bentonite clay, this natural soap is tough enough to break down oils, grease, and other stubborn residues, yet has a sensitive side with its coconut and olive oil moisturizers, which keeps skin from drying out and cracking like those other orange soaps out there. Grip Clean contains pumice, acting as a gentle exfoliant while breaking down those tough residues, and has a refreshing lime scent that'll transport you right to the Bahamas. This soap is safe to use on your entire body and will help heal extremely dry and irritated skin. So go ahead, kid, rub some dirt on it. Grip Clean offers a variety of cleaners not just for your hands, but also for your vehicles and tools. Bottles start around $10 and go up from there. They even offer bundles to keep your hands and tools clean as a whistle.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel. And be sure to like and subscribe.
Wait, do you think that you could use it on, you know how people, like, their heels get kind of rough?
No, for my heels, I would need much more abrasive.
I wasn't talking about your heels, but, you know.
In general.
But Lou. It's probably sharing a little bit too much information, but, I mean, you know how people.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe, yeah. Sure. For people who have nice soft feet.
Since you just spilled the beans about your really rough heels, why don't you try it for a week and report back to us?
It won't work. Lou, my feet, when I get my pedicure, they, I'm pretty sure they bring out a cheese grater. It's real bad. It's a hereditary. I can't help it.
Okay.
But hold on. Back to the green, what is it called? Grip Clean.
Grip Clean.
You really are. This is your stuff. You're going to love this stuff.
It got shipped to the wrong location.
It got to me instead of you.
Right. And so so you had to do the test. And does it feel like when you squirt it in your hand, does it feel gritty?
Yeah. It feels like you have fine sand. And so I can see how it would take everything right off.
Yeah.
But then when you wash it off, I kind of felt almost like, you know how your hands feel after when you take a shower in well water or in really soft water.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, it's just instead of.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. Instead of your hands drying out and cracking, like you said, the other stuff does.
Oh, my gosh.
You can tell it's got like a moisturizing thing in there. So your hands are going to feel nice and baby soft.
I like that.
Baby M soft.
Baby M soft. And then also there's wipes too, right? They have wipes.
Right. That you can use on your hands as well, or you can use them on your
oily tools.
You're going to like it.
It's good. I think that that's a really good one to keep by your laundry sink or, you could even keep it by your kitchen sink, wherever you wash up after doing work and really get your hands nice and clean. Go to youtube.com/HouseSmartsTV to learn more. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's talk with Kevin in Northfield. Hey, Kevin, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Lou.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, yes.
Go ahead, my friend.
Yo, great. Thank you for taking my call, Lou. Question I have is in regards to a battery backup sump pump.
Okay.
The brand that I have is a watchdog, and it's worked great. I would say it's probably 12 to 15 years now. The battery is dead, and I'm at the point, and this would probably be the second or third time I would replace the battery.
Right.
But the question I have for you is, do I go ahead and spend another $200 on the battery, or because of the age of the unit, it being 12 to 15 years, is it the appropriate time to replace everything and get a new pump? Or, I know in the past you've spoken about the electric ones, but when I checked into that, they were saying those only run about 2 to 4 hours consecutively, where if you do the battery of a watchdog, that could run up to 7 or 8 hours.
Wait, what do you mean the electric?
I don't know about the electric. It was something you said you would plug into.
Okay. So there's a backup power source that you would plug your main pump into, but that can run up to 6 hours. You know, I mean, your sump pump doesn't run, you know, when continuous, but on and off with the sump pump battery backup, you would plug your main pump in. Now, the downside to that going that route is if the pump fails, okay, well,
yep,
you got nothing backing you up. And with a separate battery pump, you have a secondary pump. You're kind of in this weird spot because you've had this watchdog for all these years, and it probably doesn't run, right? The backup?
It rarely runs. I test it occasionally.
Right,
so,
right.
Again, it's just the age is what I'm concerned about. It's
right.
12 to 15 years old. It could be corroded.
Yeah, it's all plastic. It sits in that water, or, you know, it sits above the water.
Yep.
And so if it were me, I would probably say, yes, go ahead and replace it all. I mean, Basement Watchdog is still out there. You can still buy it, you know, and you can buy a new battery at this point as well to go with it. And then you've got a newer pump. The pumps have, you know, come a long way. You remember that with a backup, it's all about sizing it correctly, making sure that it's going to move the same amount of water that your main pump does if it goes out.
Yep.
So just size it correctly.
Yep. And I know mine does. I think it's like a half horsepower or whatever, and I think that's fine. It's just I agree with you. I'm in that weird point where I could probably get away with just a battery.
You could.
Or, you know, double the price and I get everything and I start fresh.
If the price doesn't scare you off, in other words, from, you know, and the other thing too is your basement's finished, right? We're talking about if you buy a whole new watchdog system, you're probably all in $1,200-$1,300.
Yep.
If that doesn't scare you away, that would be my advice to you to do that. At the very least, you're going to replace the battery, and then maybe it's not a bad idea. With the newer watchdogs, there's buttons to be able to test those pumps, and it wouldn't be a bad idea to run a test, put it in your phone, and test that every couple times a year, just to exercise the motor.
Okay. No, good. I appreciate it, Lou. Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Have a drive carefully. Appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574. Lou is our phone number. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. Hang on there, Gail. We'll get to your call right after this.
I recently had an estimate to replace a furnace and maybe the air conditioner also.
Okay.
But I moved in here 2 years ago, so it was the furnace is from 2006. It's a Lennox. And the guy who came to give me the estimate said there's a coil underneath the furnace. This is just a small condo unit I live in.
Okay.
And the coil is a Goodman, and the furnace and air conditioner units are Lennox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been working for the 2 years that I've been living here. I haven't had a problem, but he claims that coil should be replaced because it's a Goodman. Does that make a difference?
No. I mean, here's the thing. With furnaces, all the different makers and the brand names, almost all of them, the parts are interchangeable. Ironically, most of the parts are made by Honeywell, but you can fit a different coil. And I mean, it's not, I'm a fan of staying with like equipment. So in other words, if I'm calling a furnace person out and they're a Bryant dealer or a Lennox dealer or a Trane dealer, right? I want all those pieces and parts to be by Trane, but you can make them other, you can make them work. It's a little, with furnaces, it's like plug and play. Now, your Lennox is 2006, right? So in a couple of years, it's going to be 20 years old.
Right.
So you're kind of at that tail end, but if it's working and it's a small condo, what floor are you on the condo building?
Ground level.
Okay. And are you ground level? Are you in the middle of the building, on the end of the building? What's the story?
In the middle.
Okay. I mean, the reality of it is, if your furnace went out in the middle of winter because of, I mean, if you get it serviced and worked on, right, and they're not finding anything wrong when they put all their gauges on it, right? Other than, go ahead.
He said that he's not going to condemn it, but he said that there's a little carbon monoxide. Of course, it could be from the water heater, too, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And he replaced I can't remember what he replaced.
Capacitor?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. I told him to replace the capacitor.
Okay.
So I just don't know what
do. Do you have a working carbon monoxide detector in the house?
Yes.
Okay, and it's not going off, and it's relatively new, the unit that you're using.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, if it's not putting off any carbon monoxide that is dangerous, which is why you have the carbon monoxide detector, right, when they put a sensor mm-hmm. right on it. Look, if I put a carbon monoxide sensor right over your gas stove, if you have a gas stove, there's carbon monoxide right there, but yeah. It's such a low level, it doesn't matter. Anything that combusts makes carbon monoxide. Your unit is operating properly and they've done it all and it's not within the budget to replace it all, I wouldn't worry about it. Now, you know, I would just let it go and make a repair. If this is something that's going to give you peace of mind, then if you are proactive about it and plan for it, you'll save a little bit more money as opposed to the middle of February, I need a furnace, right?
Right.
So from a budget perspective, I would get more estimates just so you know what you're, you know, up against if you're going to do this so that you have an idea. And then if you want to wait till spring and plan for it, I think you're perfectly fine doing that.
Okay. So the coil is not a problem.
That doesn't bother
me if I just replace.
No, I would not replace a coil on an almost 20-year-old furnace. And that coil is only used for air conditioning, not heating.
Okay, so if I replace just the furnace, he said that that's fine with him or me if I want to do that. But he said if I change my mind later and I want to have air conditioning put in, then they would have to take the furnace apart.
If it were me, right. If it were me, okay, I'm assuming the air conditioner, if it were me, if we're going to replace the furnace, I would replace the air conditioner at the same time, all of it. Then you're done. It'll cost more, but that's the better use of your money. I would not replace the furnace and keep a Goodman coil for them to kind of shoehorn in there like this one was done. I would say I'm going to get a new Lennox or a new Trane or a new Carrier, whatever it is, all like equipment, air conditioning and heating, small condo, shouldn't be crazy expensive, but I mean, it could be $15,000, right? But get a couple.
He quoted me $79,000.
Done.
He's going to get
for everything.
A Heil.
For everything, right? Heating and air.
Yeah.
Right. That's good price. Heil is fine. That's good equipment. But if you're going to replace it with like equipment. I'm sorry, I got to let you go. I'm bumping up against news, and I'm a little late. My apologies. The news is next from the Northwestern. Let me take that again. I love the pregnant pause when they both go, thank you.
Thank you.
I was just thinking about syrup.
Syrup.
Yep.
Syrup.
Okay, I'm a little sad, and I need to talk to you all about... Now, fake news. Are we all in agreement? I'm not even a political thing, but that there's a lot of fake news out there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
And we all have to do our own due diligence to make sure that stuff is true, right? Because we get fed news stories or something on Instagram or something on X or Threads or whatever, and you're like, oh my gosh, that must be the thing, right? And we take that little piece of information, and then all of a sudden we form an opinion.
Right, exactly. Right? Yep.
So I'm fed this thing on Instagram. You know, Lindsay, I love Instagram. The origins of the middle finger. Hmm. Anyone? Like, where did we... Andy giggling. Where did the origin of people flipping the bird come from? So... this video gets fed to me. This very nice-looking young man tells the story of a battle between the French and the English that happened at Agincourt. Anybody? Does it ring a bell?
Okay.
Okay, so this is during medieval times. And he goes, did you ever wonder where the middle finger came from? Well, there was this battle at Agincourt, and the English won this major upset. Where they were, and back then they were fighting with bow and arrows, okay?
Right.
And so the story goes, according to this guy on Instagram, that the French, so they used the bow that the English used was made from a yew tree, right?
Yeah.
And so it was known when the archers would go out there to throw their arrows that they would pluck their yew. So they would pluck you, right?
Yeah.
Stay with me.
Yep. Here we go. Okay?
And you would use your middle finger and your index finger to draw the bow back. And the French in this battle said that when they were going to win this battle, they would capture the English and they would sever the middle finger from the English.
Mm.
Like that's what they were going to do.
So they couldn't bow anymore.
Right,
they couldn't pluck the U anymore.
Okay. Right, right.
And so in a upset, the English won this battle, and then the remaining French soldiers, the English are there, and they're waving their middle finger like, look at us,
we can still pluck you, yes,
totally, right.
Stop.
I am 100% in on this story.
Right,
I love it. Yep.
Not true.
Yeah,
not at all.
Right, I know. I
would have fell hook, line, and sinker for that.
The guy was so, but then, so here, so now I do a little digging, right? Because like, I'm like, this is such a great story. I'm going to talk about this. Like, yeah. I'm so excited to talk about this. But then there's a moment of me, and this is a lesson for all of us. And I will say that I'm pretty good at this. I always stop and I go, And maybe it's because I'm on the radio and I'm talking to a lot of you. I want to make sure that I'm not just throwing out information that is just false.
Yeah, you're a responsible guy.
Start doing a little digging. This is really not angers me, but upsets me. Do you know that this whole radio show, this House Smarts radio show, used to be the Mr. Fix-It show, started because when I was working on Saturday mornings, long before I was on the radio, my entire career, I've always worked on Saturdays. And for those of you that have been around for a long time, there used to be a show on NPR called Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. It was called Car Talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there were these two guys. They were super funny out of Boston, and they would talk about cars. And I would drive around on job sites and listen to NPR and Click and Clack. And they were hilarious. They're now both gone. They've left us. But the show was wildly popular on NPR. And it was sort of the antithesis of me sending letters to write to get on the radio because I thought, I wonder if I could do something like that and be like Click and Clack and talk about home improvement instead of the cars.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that promoted the story back in the day. They had this feature on their show called The Puzzler, and they told this whole story about the thing, and it kind of elevated the story. Now, this is long before fake news and everything. They were just thinking, oh, it's a fun little story. I do a little digging in Snopes, right? And it says false story. Andy kind of already knew. Huh. And they were saying when they think about medieval times, right, and battles of medieval times, when they talk to historians, they said that they would never have captured soldiers. Because back then there's like this moral code with soldiers that if they captured somebody and they had laid down their arms, they would have to treat them with civility, and cutting off their fingers wouldn't be civil.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Makes sense.
But back in medieval times, they would take prisoners, but they would take prisoners if it was like a general or a leader that then they would hold for ransom so they could make money.
Right.
Right?
High ranking, yeah.
But archers had no value, right? Because, I mean, think about medieval time. All right, you guys go stand out there and then throw your bows and then wait for them to throw the bows back at you. Hopefully you don't die. I mean,
yeah, right.
not a good time to be a soldier.
Right, not at all.
Right? Right. Either the medieval times or even during the, when we battled England, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Revolutionary War?
Yep.
Okay, go stand there, kneel down with your muskets, and then shoot. And then while you reload,
for 10 minutes,
they're going to shoot back at you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Just look out. Yeah.
Not a good time to be a soldier.
Not at all.
Anyway, it made me so sad because I love the whole idea of the pluck you then became.
Totally.
I know.
Right? That's it's what, like totally the story all set.
Yep.
Not true.
That's what they say, though. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And there's a lot of those.
Like,
out
do you think
right
the
now.
Guy that yep. was telling the story knew that? Or do you think
he was so convincing? He was so convincing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was, but then it was there was something about it. And so my point to you is here we are, a couple weeks to the election, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's so much. I'm going to be so happy when this election's over, oh, right?
Same.
We're all tired of hearing all this
Can't
stuff.
Wait.
But I mean, I wonder if someone could win by not being mean. Like, do you have to always be mean?
Yeah, I know what
you
mean.
You know what I mean? Like, do you have to say bad stuff about each other?
It's gotten
so low-brow. Could you just say, look, so-and-so, they want this. And I don't really think that's the right way to go.
Yeah,
I want to do this, and
keep
so
it to
you know
policy,
if you. But it
personal.
Seems like it's got
to
be like they're evil,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
bad, and so as you hear all this stuff, and then now I don't know if you've seen a lot of the signs that people have in their yards. Some
oh, yeah.
of them are really
nasty for sure.
Nasty. Don't just go by the sign in someone's yard or some headline that you read. No matter what candidate you're going for. Do a little digging. See how I brought this all around for the fake news?
Yes,
see,
sir.
It goes
nice.
Back for pluck you.
Don't
spend a little time. We've got 2 weeks left, right?
Yes.
It's a very important election. Everybody needs to go out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to do your research and find out what the facts are.
That's
and
the
to
way.
Don's point, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yes, sir.
Those darn French. You're gonna cut off your finger. I won't be able to pluck your you.
Pluck you.
Pluck you. That's going to be my thing if I'm no. really mad at somebody now. Instead of saying the word, I'm going to say, pluck you.
There you go. Perfect
pluck.
Stand-in.
No?
Mm-hmm.
No?
Okay,
maybe
work.
Not. Never mind. 857-5574-LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's see what we got here. I'm on the wrong screen. Now I'm going to go over here, and this is Gail. Gail is in Lombard. Hi, Gail. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Fabulous. How may I help you?
We bought a Cicero bungalow. It has a fireplace. We do not know how to use it. We do not know how to turn it on. My granddaughter had her boyfriend come over with his cane corso, and he claims the dog pulled the chain out of there. So who would I call for fireplace safety and a checkup and how to operate the thing?
I'm so glad you're calling, and I think that I would absolutely have the thing checked out and have someone show you how to use it. So Lindemann Chimney Heating and Cooling is who you're going to call,
okay?
And they are the chimney experts. They've been around since the 60s, okay? And they're going to come in and inspect your chimney. Actually, they have a deal right now, the chimney cleaning and a safety check for $99.
Beautiful.
I'm going to give you their website. You ready?
Yep.
L-I-N, LindemannEmann.com. Lindemann.com. You can book your whole appointment and everything right on the website there, and have them come out and check it all out. They'll make sure that the cap is in good shape. They have a way to put a camera up there and clean it, inspect it all, and that way you can use that fireplace in the coming season safely and know there's no problems.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Okay. We'll do that.
You got it.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you calling and listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568.
We're building a new house, my wife and I, and
nice.
We have in-floor heat. Is it necessary to put glycol or some kind of antifreeze in that floor? Of course, I guess the lines are supposed to be able to freeze and thaw without any issues, supposedly. But would that help?
Does
glycol help disperse the heat?
In-floor heating inside the home?
Inside the home.
Well,
we have tube water running through the floors.
Right. But the glycol typically is only used if you're doing this outside.
Okay.
So
I didn't know if that would help disperse the heat or not.
No,
doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't make any difference what the material. The whole idea behind the glycol is it won't freeze. And so people who will, if you were going to do a heated driveway, which,
Okay.
I don't know what your story is there, but boy, is that sweet.
There's one down the road, so I know how sweet it is.
Yeah,
not a mine.
But, you're going to love the in-floor heating. How far along are you in the process?
We are hooking up the burner as we talk.
Okay.
Not as we talk. They're taking the weekend off.
Okay, but is the finished
on
floor?
On-demand heat. We're using an on-demand heat. Yes.
The finished.
It will be a blued linoleum.
Okay.
Or vinyl.
And did they zone? Do you have several zones within the flooring?
I only have two zones, and one is the garage and the other is the house.
Okay. But within those zones, are there, you should have a manifold in the mechanical room where all the pipes come in, right? And so are there valves for sections of the floor?
I would imagine. I haven't really got the breakdown on it yet, but I see there are several different gauges.
Okay, so this is critical for you to ask these questions, because here's the thing. In a perfect world, nothing's going to happen. But let's just say, 5 years from now, something happens where there's a leak, okay? And a lot of times what they'll do with it, you may have one zone that runs off of one thermostat, but they'll loop everything. They'll do a section and they'll loop it back to a valve. So you could shut down that section to localize where the leak is, and or even bypass it if you had to.
So the question
I want you to ask the contractor is saying, hey, I know we're getting ready to hook this all up, but if I were ever to spring a leak in a section here, do I have the ability to localize that and shut it down?
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Okay. Because that would...
make sense.
I'm assuming they're doing that, but you know what happens when you assume?
Well...
Don't say it.
I've learned you have to micromanage everything when you're building a
house. Just ask a lot of questions and make sure that you understand completely how the system works. Appreciate the phone call. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a conversation about that new roof you think you might need and who you should be talking to about putting it on after this report of WGN Radio News with Don Kleppen. All right, I want to talk a little bit about your roof and the state of your roof and what are you doing about it? Do you need a new one? How do you plan for it? In a second, I'm going to introduce Tim and Ryan Lindholm from Lindholm Roofing. Now, full disclosure, they are a sponsor here on WGN Radio. They are a sponsor of this very radio show. And I also work with them to help promote their company. And I have known the Lindholms for a very long time, and my wife and I just recently, as in just a few days ago, got a new roof put on by Lindholm Roofing. It's something that we planned for, and the work that they did was just unbelievable, and it was a process that is quite involved, you know, but when you have the right people doing it and they know what they're doing, it's pretty impressive. Joining me on the phone line are Tim and Ryan Lindholm from Lindholm Roofing. Gentlemen, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
Morning, Lou.
I was thinking, I've spent so much time with you two, and including your daughter slash sister, Mallory, that where's Thanksgiving? I think I should probably come over for Thanksgiving at this point.
You're welcome.
All right. Good. Tell me a little bit about the history of Lindholm Roofing. You know, the term family-owned gets ballied about quite a bit with different companies, and in knowing you folks and kind of knowing the history, it truly is the antithesis of a family-owned business. Tell me a little bit about it, Tim.
Sure. I'm 65 years old now, and when I was a little kid, we would sit around the dinner table, and my father and brothers and mom, we would talk about roofing. I would say not all the time, but often enough where it was in my blood. I worked on roofs for many summers when I was young, and my father and uncle taught me a lot. They were in the roofing business in the 50s and 60s, and in the 70s, I started getting involved within the 80s full-time. And so I've been here now about 43, 44 years.
Wow.
And I'm very fortunate, yes, that my son Ryan and his two sisters, Mallory and Rebecca, are in the company, and they're the third generation now. So we've had probably 6 to 7 decades now where we have been involved with roofing. All of us have been hands-on in actually doing the work, and we love it. Love helping people with their problems.
Well, and that's legitimate, and I saw it just a couple days ago. What was the name, Ryan, of the gentleman that came to do all the flashing?
Abraham.
So Abraham's got a truck out here, and he's got his brake, and he's bending some, flashing that's going to go on our home, and you immediately grab a pair of gloves, and you start, and I comment in that in all the construction and experience that I have, I've never really used a brake. A brake, for those of you that don't know, is a kind of a specialty tool used in roofing and siding for flashing. You bend the metal in a certain way. It's quite a useful tool. And you just picked up a pair of gloves and you were just helping him. And I'm like, wow, you're not just the pretty face with the last name. And he said, no, he was my helper for a long time. And that kind of experience, doing it really makes a difference about who's doing the roof and the quality of the workmanship. I was impressed, to say the least.
Yeah, no, Abraham's a great guy and also been with us a long time and taught me a lot of things. And yeah, it's nice to be able to do the work sometimes. He's a really great guy and is, it's really nice to have good people.
Right.
And that's, kind of obvious, but we try to really keep our employees happy because, that's what's best for the customer.
Well, I've always said that the sign of a really good, company or, firm, whatever it is based on the people that work there and how long they've been there. And I was, doing my own little survey as you guys were doing the work. And I was, oh, how long have you been? Oh, 20. I think Abraham's been with you guys for 28 years. And the other gentleman that was working with him, 19. And Peter and the crew that were here was 20. And, it was just like one after another after another. And, human nature is if you're not treated well, you don't stick around. And so that when you're treated well, in my mind, goes right towards the heart of the work that's going to get done. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. Roofing, I know that you guys do repairs and you'll, do siding work. And, Tim, you've mentioned to me, hey, we'll come out and fix that leak or the blown off shingle, whatever. But when it comes to doing an entire roof, obviously it's an expensive proposition. And there's a lot of people out there that want that business. And, you know, in many respects, the material that gets used, you know, depending on the manufacturer, it's a commodity item, right? Any roofer can buy a CertainTeed roof or an Owens Corning roof or, you know, an Elk or, you know, any one of the manufacturers, right? And but the quality of the people that are putting it on really is what matters the most. Talk to me a little bit about planning your roof replacement and kind of what are things that people should look for if they're getting to that point where they need a new roof.
Well, I would say that if someone has a leak and, you know, they're looking for some kind of immediate action and we're happy to provide that. But if they don't have a leak and they're just concerned or thinking that it might be time for a new roof, you know, then we do this every day. And we tell all the people in our company that most homeowners will do this once or twice in their lifetimes.
Right.
So they're not really too familiar with what goes into it, how involved it might be. There's a lot of debris and garbage. So it's very good idea to plan it out ahead of time. Do you have an event you're having at your house? Are you having a big party or a picnic, you know, in a month or in 3 months? Are you going to do an addition? So I'll tend to think is if I was the homeowner and what would I want to do if the house was mine? And again, if people don't have a leak and they have time to plan it, you know, we tell them very good times of the year are when landscapes are kind of getting dormant or dormant,
right.
Whether that's, you know, starting, you know, late in September or in April and early May. So if there's good times to choose from a landscape perspective, those are better times of a year in our climate to do it. So those are just a few of the things that really have nothing to do with the roof itself.
Right.
It's more the customer's home and their property and what things that they might not be thinking about that we're well aware of because this is stuff we do every week.
Yeah. And Ryan, you know, your dad's talking about the fact that certain times of the year are good. And we were chatting just a couple days ago, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, when's the best time? Well, really, when you need a new roof, it really doesn't matter. You can, you know, you work 12 months a year. Obviously, if it's, you know, bitterly, bitterly cold, the crews aren't going to go out there and work, or if it's pouring rain. But you all take very good care in protecting that landscaping that that Tim was talking about, right? I mean, the ginormous tarps that you lay across, you know, the gutter line to protect that landscaping. And then, you know, I mean, I watched your crew do as much work cleaning up as they did installing the roof.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The tarps are pretty giant. It's actually something to see. But yeah, we do work 12 months a year. So if you forgot to plan to do your roof, and it kind of needs to get done in a non-ideal time, we can work around that, of course, and just pick the good week in January or the good, you know, week in March or November to do it. But ideally a day like we were doing yours was a beautiful sunny day in the 60s.
Gorgeous.
You know, was comfortable, and that was great planning on your part. But
yeah. I think I just got lucky, but thank you.
we're used to protecting the homes and businesses at the different times of the year. In the summer, it's real hot, so we have to take extra care to not have the shingles scuff, they call it, when it's so hot on the roof. And in the winter, you know, we need to do different things to warm up the shingles and the material to make sure it goes on right and will be guaranteed for the life of the roof.
Mm.
So, yeah, we, we work to figure out what's needed to do the work whenever it's going to be done. And if it's too cold or too hot or too windy, we just skip those days.
Right. You just say, this is not the best day to do it. And we're going to reschedule. And I know people don't like that, but you know, ultimately, Tim, to what your point is, you know, they only do this once, maybe twice in their lifetime. Waiting a day or so probably makes the most sense to make sure that the roof lasts the longest.
Right. You want it done right the first time.
Right. Right. Well, that's what you get with Lindholm Roofing. I was really impressed, not just because we work together, but, you know, I really do. I have always said this, you know, I meet people. I've done business with a lot of different people. And one of the first things that I always ask is about their employees and who works with them. I have example over example. You know, I have a business partner in New York, Frank, who I met 25 years ago. And, you know, I was unsure of him at first. You know, when I first met him, I'm like, I'm not quite sure. And then I met the people that work for him. And it was like, oh, I've worked here 15 years. I've worked here 18 years. And that says a lot to me. And we've become, you know, business partners for 25 years and dear friends. And so I applaud what you guys are doing as a family business. I think it's great. You got great crews doing great work. And, you know, if people are listening and they need a repair or they need a new roof, you know, again, there's a lot of people out there. You should get multiple bids, but you're going to get a fair price and it's going to get done right by the Lindholms. All right. So if people want to contact you about a new roof or a repair or anything, whether it's commercial or residential, what's the phone number?
It's 773-283-7675. You could go on our website, and we have a contact form you can fill out on our website. And with that contact form, there's a phone number to text. It goes right to Patty. I think she would be fine with me telling you that. So you could text Patty, you could text Patty or give us a call.
That's lindholmroofing.com. Tim and Ryan Lindholm from Lindholm Roofing, nice to chat with you. Nice job on our roof, and continued success for you and your families.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Lou.
Hey, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How may I help you, sir?
So I have a 20-year-old. Yes, I have a 20-year-old condo with wood floors, and the kitchen area is about 100 square foot. And we experienced some water damage, and it's only about 10 to 15 square feet. And the wood flooring is a very thin plank type. It's about an eighth of an inch, and it's got odd sizes, like between 4 inches to 12 inches.
Okay.
The subflooring is okay, and I'm looking to patch it, but when I went to all the big box stores and a couple of flooring companies, they kind of looked at it really in a funny way, like they've never seen it before, and I can't find the material. So I'm wondering if I could patch it. Great, if I could find the material, I could probably do it myself. Or do I need to call a carpenter? Or my other option is segmenting that kitchen area and putting something else in there.
When was the water damage?
So I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
When was the water damage? When did that all happen?
I would say about a month ago.
And is the flooring all in?
A month ago.
Is it still in place? Like everything's there? It's just curled up?
Yeah, I removed the damaged part.
Oh,
so
I see.
Out of 100
okay.
square foot, there's probably about 10 to 15 square foot of curled or warped wood.
Yeah.
That I removed, but the subfloor is level and it's clean. So I was looking to patch. So I'm just kind of running out of ideas because I went to all these different big box stores. And
no, you need to go.
No,
you need
solutions for them.
You need to go to a flooring store, a specific flooring store. There's a Chicago Hardwood Flooring in Chicago. If you look that up, that's a supplier. Even a floor and decor might not get into specialty stuff like that, but you need to go to more of an old school flooring place that can find that stuff for you. There's another place in the city. It's actually, I believe, called Rex Rug, R-E-X-X, but they do other types of flooring, and they might be a source for you to find something similar where you could find 100 square feet to be able to patch it yourself. a lot of these big box stores, they just have what they have, and they don't really have the specialty stuff, but it does exist. You just have to hunt it down and find it. I'm like, I think I lost 10 pounds just by able to say that stuff. Because now all the things that I've been doing, like, oh, I'm over at Quinn and Amy's house, you know, working on putting, well, I'm working on the baby's room. That's what I've been doing. And I couldn't be completely truthful with everybody, totally. Which is driving me crazy.
Think before you speak.
Right. God. A lot of pressure, Andy. Don?
Total.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I get it. Yeah.
Tell me I can't say things, right?
It's the worst.
Don't say anything.
Makes like, you want to say it more.
Get to...
Right. It's like, don't think of a pink elephant.
So this weekend, I'm going to be going to do more work on the baby's room on on Sunday. Actually, Mike Jay's going to help me.
Let it out. Let it out.
Mary Beth is actually going to the very first baby shower because, you know, my daughter-in-law is from New York. And so the first baby shower is in New York. And so she's going to New York to be there this weekend, which will be very fun. And then we're having a baby shower for her the following weekend, which will be very fun. And maybe I'll save that for next week.
Yeah. One shower at a time.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Don?
Well, I'll be working on Violet's nursery as well. We got it put together finally, and she's been enjoying time in there. It's been sweet reading to her and feeding her purees and stuff like that in the high chair. It's been wonderful. So,
what's her favorite puree?
She's been really into carrots, and we introduced sweet potatoes last night, and she was really into those.
Being family favorite, sweet potatoes.
Yeah, totally. So she was really, really happy with that. So Gretchen's out with her meeting some friends this morning, so I'm going to definitely get a little nap in when I get home. I think that'll be nice to just have a quiet place at home. And then we're going to, I think tomorrow, great day of football for sure, but we're also going to do a little shopping for Violet's Halloween costumes as well as I got to get like a new shirt because there's an awards ceremony for the Best in Grass on Tuesday that I'm going to. And I've got to get
a great, new outfit. That is just the best. What are we going to call it? The Best in Grass.
It is great. I love it. And it should be a really fun time. So I got to get, it's a black tie affair. So I got to get, you know,
sure,
up and going.
Sure, absolutely. Right, Andy?
Well, I've been battling a little bit of a sinus thing and just felt good enough last night to be able to go to our very first Blackhawks game of the year.
Oh, that's fun.
My wife got invited to a suite. So we were guests in a suite yesterday. We behaved.
Good.
Did not
You're like, wait, all this is included?
Yeah.
All this over here?
I'll keep this dessert cart. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I had the rainbow cake last night.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
So good.
Is that good?
The best.
It is so good.
For most that don't, if you've never had an opportunity to go to a suite at an event like this, you know, it's a very, very lovely, you know, opulent would maybe be.
Definitely. That's
nice.
The right word.
It's nice. I mean, you get a little indoor area. You got
the outdoor area.
There's
outside,
food catered, and you know, you
and
get
then a cart shows up with some of the most decadent, delicious desserts ever.
Good. So good.
I'm not a huge dessert guy, so I typically forego the dessert cart.
But they
you know?
Have chocolate shots, you know?
They have chocolate shots. Yep. They have, like, an amazing cookie.
Yeah.
They have
candy.
All these cakes. Yep. Yeah, candy.
Popcorn.
I mean, it's
popcorn. The candy.
Who gets the popcorn?
I do. Like, looks like the Chicago
Salty
mix.
Sweet. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I have a sweet tooth big enough for my wife and myself, so she doesn't, you know, like it, so I say, go get one anyway.
I'll eat it for you.
I'll eat it for you, for sure. She'll take a bite,
God,
of course. But,
hilarious.
You
hilarious.
Know. But, yeah, so we're going to recover from that. And
I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, thanks. I got a big day tomorrow with Hampton OB. We've got a little later kickoff, so we'll be on about 2:30 tomorrow.
I mean, I'm a little concerned with, you know, when the Bears are doing well, they're happy. I think it's good for both of their blood pressures.
It's very good. But you know what? They're good enough that they can find something that isn't quite right. OB has been talking about the fact that they haven't played many quality teams, and Hamp will argue that the teams that they're not that quality, they've been beating and beating badly, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And, of course, they both know that right after the Cardinals game in 2 weeks, the storm is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Because they play their first game against the Packers, and then they have back-to-back games against the Vikings and the Lions, and then the Seahawks are mixed in there, and then they have the the three teams in the division again, and the division is good this year.
You were away when Carm was filling in, and you know, and I found out Carm does like some Bears podcast thing or whatever we were talking. And so my thing was, I said I would like the Bears to have you can't go 8-8, right? But we could go 9-8,
correct?
Right?
Yeah,
I'd like if we could get a 9-8 season and beat the Packers once, I would be happy.
I think that a lot of people would jump on board, though. I think now, though, people are getting a little bit, spoiled, and thinking, all right, there's a chance at the playoffs at 4-2. There was a stat the other day that they showed on the screen that at 4-2, there's about a 59-point-something% chance of being in the playoffs.
I was watching the World Series last night, and there was some commercial on for something. And it was like the whole stats, how they live all the stats, right? And it was some player who steals a base, and if he has a 10-foot lead at first base, did you see it?
Yep.
And then if he runs, the guy runs, this is crazy, 28 feet per second. Mm-hmm. That's how, I mean, I don't think I could drive that fast.
That's,
and then he has like a 80 or 70% chance of actually stealing the base.
Yeah.
Now they show it all in the video, but you know, it's all these stats, all this stuff, and you know, what's that old saying in football? Yeah. You know, nothing spoils a really good offense on the football field except a really good defense.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the other team has something to say about it too. So these stats are great, but yeah,
there's a stat for everything. Just look at it, and if there isn't, it'll be there soon.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, that's what's going on this weekend. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
And go Bears. Listen to Andy and Hamp and OB. Oh, and by the way, you know, I'm very involved with Misericordia, and there is a woman who is a powerhouse over there, Lois Gates. Happy birthday to Lois. It's her 39th birthday coming up.
Hey, happy birthday.
I believe it's tomorrow. So happy birthday, Lois. We love you, and so does everybody at Misericordia. 857-557.
Thanks for asking.
Are you
not be denied.
Sorry.
Nothing surreptitious.
I still feel bad for the time.
I wish it was television. She's wearing her Dolly for President 2024 t-shirt on, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd vote for her.
I still feel bad for the times that there was a couple times where like the three of us took over and didn't ask you. So, I mean,
it goes all the way around.
I feel better now.
Lindsay?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. It is Halloween weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sent all of you a photo of what my husband is dressing up as.
That's incredible.
And he didn't share this with us until he appeared in it yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, it's I like wish the.
Is it that
going.
The abominable snowman?
Yeah, that's what it looks
like.
That's
what it looks
like, yeah. A Yeti. Okay.
It's a Yeti.
I love it.
That's awesome.
It's a great costume.
It's kind of like your bear in the big blue house, but.
But it's
a
little
style.
Scary. The bear was
so
friendly.
It's
hot. Oh, my God.
Has a smile.
That, you'd be so hot.
For sure.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's he a runs full hot. He's going to be a disaster, but.
It's like a Yeti furry costume with. Is that a nipple? What is that going on right there?
It does have
is that an exposed nipple?
It does have a chest area.
Okay, so there's like a nipple, which is kind of odd. I don't think I wouldn't go with that.
It just bursts through the hair, you know?
Right, it's like he's really chesty, right?
Yeah.
Keeping in the Dolly Parton theme.
Almost, yep.
Then a big gray face that is kind of scary and wrinkly and
wide eyes.
Where does he see out of?
I don't
Does
know.
Does he see out of the face? Out the, of the, yeah, out of the
yeah,
teeth?
Yeah.
I mean, your husband's tall, but oh my God, he must be.
He popped
like, that
into
is sweaty.
I was in my car on a call yesterday and I wasn't paying attention and he popped up next to me
and scared the.
Oh my God.
I bet.
Yeah. That would scare me. That scared me when you sent me the picture.
Oh my God.
Right.
Totally.
I just want to know what's going on with that nipple. I don't really like that nipple.
It's unexpected.
It's all creepy.
It's creepy. It's really creepy. I'm sorry for the kids and the girls.
Love Halloween.
But happy Halloween.
Right.
I know.
Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Thanks for asking.
All right. You're 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's speak with JT and Wilmette. Hey, JT, good morning. Oh, hold on one second. Let's try that again. Hey, JT, good morning. There he is. Three, two, JT?
Hello.
Hi, JT. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a 1989 Bryant furnace and air conditioning unit that still works beautiful.
Okay.
35 years old. I haven't done anything to it. The problem is I'm going to put the house on the market, and so I would like to put in a new HVAC. The other problem is that what's leading me also to this is that the chimney is compromised, so I'm going to take down the chimney and, you know, do a little tuck pointing and then go with a PVC, you know, use the PVC for a high-efficiency furnace.
Okay.
My question to you is, One, it's 100,000 BTU, and so it's an 80,000 when it's, you know, when it comes out. And a lot of these guys want to sell me a 60,000 BTU, and I get the whole new technology. But the problem I have is every single manufacturer, whether it's Carrier, Bryant, whoever, Train, they're no longer allowing me to transfer the warranty to the new buyer. So the problem is what I want to do is I want to find someone that can either transfer the, you know, 10-year and 20-year, whatever the warranty is, to the buyer. They say the minute you change owners, that warranty is, it's, you know, it's like anything else. It's not transferable.
Even if you Even if you buy an, isn't there a way to buy that transferable warranty from these manufacturers?
No, they said it's not. They said they stopped doing it. And I assume one guy told me that Carrier's no longer doing it because they have 40 million clients and they can't keep changing their database. My brother's in the industry and said, no, it's a warranty issue, meaning they're hoping they sell the house so it leaves the manufacturer out of the warranty process because no, they're no longer. My brother's been doing this for 30, 40 years, but he's not. He can't put in the furnace. So that's the problem I have. So my what I was going to do was I was going to get the contract together, get the appraisal, and make the appraisal subject to the the value, whatever the value comes out to be, subject to the installation of the HVAC. Call the buyer, say, hey buyer, here's the thing, go ahead, you order it, here's the check. And then and then what happens, the appraiser comes back and does a final, final the next day for $100 just to make sure the furnace went in, and we're done. But I can't believe that there's no one else transferring these anymore. And that's why I called you, because you know everything.
Okay, well, so here's what I know, and obviously things change rapidly, but typically, I'm trying to recall this, so give me a second. If you put in, hold on 1 second. So let's back up a minute. If you're going to eliminate the chimney and you're going to now go with a direct vent furnace, about the water heater?
Doing the same thing.
Okay, so your goal is to provide, here's my house for sale. Oh, by the way, I put in a new furnace and a new water heater yesterday.
Yes, because they're 35 years old.
Okay. So,
the house is all redone anyways, but yeah.
All right. It was my understanding that if you, in this situation, that if you put in a new furnace and you register it with the manufacturer, right, under your name, your database, right, you got to do all that, that if you sell it, the new owners, if they transfer that ownership within 30 days of the closing, that most manufacturers will transfer the out-of-box warranty, meaning that, you know, they all come with hey, you get 5 years, on the parts, right? Yep. And then if you bought an extended warranty, they won't transfer that, but they'll transfer the out-of-box.
Yeah. They're telling me no. So I either need to go above the salesperson or maybe you, I don't know if you want to check on your free time, I'll call you next week or whatever, but I got to get this done pretty soon. And I just can't believe it. That's what they keep saying is, yeah, the manufacturers change it. And I said, well, you know, and I know it's a warranty issue because
right. I know, and I mean that's the thing. It's like a lot of stuff has changed, and I mean I haven't had this question posed to me in a long time. So so yeah, you know what? Let me do some digging and then call me back next week.
Okay. Thanks.
Give me a week.
The other thing on the BTUs.
Yeah.
The other thing on the BTUs, when they're you know, this, you know, when you're at 100,000, so you're at 80 because it's an 80% efficient furnace, and they want to go below 80. Oh, it's you know, the new systems, and it, you know, you have plenty and the blower.
As long as they are doing a load calculation, don't worry about the BTUs, because what you have in a 35-year, it's completely out the window. And so the new stuff, because of how efficient it is, I know it's crazy to go from 100 to 60. But it will do the job as long as they're doing a proper load calculation. And in particular, with a higher efficiency system, the BTUs will be lower. I'll do some investigation. I'll get some information for you before next week. I did a little quick Googling, and I went directly to a couple of sources on the Train website. So this is the Train HVAC. It does ask the question. It says, if you're preparing to sell your home, you may be able to transfer your registered limited warranty to a new homeowner, which could make your home a lot more attractive to potential buyers. To make a successful transfer, you'll have to complete the transfer within 90 days of the home sale and pay a one-time transfer fee of $99 with a credit card. So you have to register the unit if you put it in initially, and then that transfer has to happen within 90 days. And it says right here that registered units after 2011, warranty transfers became available to Train customers on August 1st, 2011. Therefore, any product registered after that date is eligible for a transfer. So that's from the Train website. Then I went to the Bryant website, and it talked about extended warranty coverage contingent on registration. So it's all about registering the product. And there's two warranties on the Bryant website that say enhanced parts warranty and the standard parts warranty. Standard part warranty is coverage of the equipment, including at time of purchase. Potential installing dealers charges may include labor warranty, blah, blah, blah. And it says here, requirements under the enhanced, it says requires registration within 90 days after installation, only applies to original homeowner. Then in parentheses, it says any subsequent owner would receive the 5-year warranty only. That was the in the box warranty that I spoke of, that my memory served me. So whatever they're telling you at Bryant, they're full of it, because it's right here on their website that it is transferable. In the Train one, you got to pay a $99 fee to transfer it. And look, here's the bottom line. The HVAC companies, they want to get into your basement. You know what I mean? And so if you're selling a unit, any dealer worth their mustard would be like, oh, you're selling the house and the new buyer's coming in and they got a warranty? Yeah, I want to be in there. And oh, by the way, I'm here. Oh, you know, they all have different services now, right? They do electrical, they do whatever. They want to be in that basement so that if there's other problems, they're the people to go to when you need an issue. So you don't have to call back next week. Hopefully you're still listening. They do transfer these warranties. You may have to pay a fee depending on the maker, but they all do that because they want to get in your basement, and it's an inexpensive lead generator for them as well. Lindsay, let's do our Just Text Me segment. Do you have any text messages for us?
I sure do, Lou. Thanks for that information, by the way.
You're welcome. Lou, always trying to be helpful.
How about some more? Can I paint a steel door this weekend with the weather the way it is?
Giddy up. As long as it's not going to freeze overnight. You absolutely can paint a steel door, do a little prep work, sand it, get it nice and smooth, and use a paint design for metal doors, and you should be good to go.
Oh, this one's cute. Regarding Mary Beth's choice of what she wants to be called as grandmother, tell Lou there's a Noni's Pizza in Woodridge. Delicious pizza, family owned.
I wonder if she'd get free pizza if she went there.
I'm sure.
Right, but so the point is, Noni's in Italian would be like, oh, these are my Noni's. Like my grandparents. That's what it... We have to work on that.
My mother is Danish. Grandmother is... We've talked about this, Don. It's pronounced Mwamwa.
Mwamwa?
That's right. Mwamwa.
Yes. But my mom was so worried. Because like you said, it's like you leave it up to the kids. But my mom was so worried that my girls were going to call her Moo Moo. So, she's like, how about we just... stop this ahead, and we'll call
well,
Momo.
And so my dear friends Mike and Chris Jakubowski, you know, have two grandsons, and he goes by the Polish version of grandfather, which is Jaja, and they call him Jaj, which is D-Z-I-A. And Chris, because, again, what your kids are going to call you, they call her Gra, G-R-A-H, Gra, because they couldn't say Grandma.
Gra. That's kind of cute.
It's so like it. Cute. And then it translates into like love or something in some language. The word gra.
Gra.
Which
it's
is
like
beautiful.
It's like bra. It's like the kids it's don't like say bra. Bro now, they say bra.
Bra.
What's up,
right.
Bra?
Right. You're so brat.
Lou, what is your last one? What is your opinion about the accuracy of store-bought radon tests? Which brand do you recommend?
I think the store-bought radon test is a great primer for if you have a concern, right? So if you have a concern about radon, these tests are pretty accurate. You typically get two vials. You place them in a lower level area with all the windows closed, and allow them to sit there. I think it's either 24 or 48 hours, and then you send them off to the lab. If you do get high results, my recommendation is then you buy another test and you try one more time, because this is, it all in, you're probably spending $40. So you do that. If you get high tests and you're really concerned, do one more as a fail safe. If that does in fact come back high again, then get a professional in there with the more scientific versions of it to put in there, and then have them come and, you know, potentially have remediation. But as far as a brand goes, there's a company called ProLab, which is $10 for the test. I think another 30 or 40, maybe you're $50 in for the actual lab version of it, you know, to do the lab analysis. But I would absolutely start there if you have a concern. Radon is no joke. And so I would make sure that if you're concerned about it, you get it tested. In particular, I've got grandkids coming. I don't want radon in my basement. So... giddy up, yes?
I'm sorry, we have one special question that just came in from our friend John Williams. Hey, Lou, what do you think about staining versus painting the fence? Is one option better than the other?
Well, Mr. Miyagi would say, show me paint the fence. The problem with painting a fence is that it's a coating that goes over the top of the fence, John, that will peel. With the stain, it's a little bit more work, but then the stain actually fades. So you'll get more length of time and beauty out of a semi-transparent stain as opposed to paint. I like paint. It's a nice, solid color, but I would definitely do a semi-transparent oil stain on the fence. That's our Just Text Me segment. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. Broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios.
Good morning. I have a question for you. Presently, in my garage, I have a cozy fan-type direct vent through the wall, but it's in the window, and it has right now it's got a slight gas leak. It's a Maxitrol gas control valve.
Okay.
And I was wondering who else makes, I tried go on a direct vent, where this one here, is there's no direct flame that goes into the garage. It all goes, I take air from the outside, and it exhausts outside. And
Hold on. So this old unit, all the flame and all the everything's on the outside, and then the vent is poked through?
It's a It's, you can see the flame, but it just takes outside air and it exhausts outside. And there's a window, you could see the flame. It's electronic, you know, and it needs to go on. And right now that it leaks a little bit of gas. I had the gas guy come out. He said it's so slight, but he wrote me up anyway. He said that, you know, you'd, if you can get that gas valve replaced, it might work. But I tried different, you know, companies, and nobody really heard of a unit like that.
Right.
And Cozy made it. And prior to that, I used to have a Dynavent, which my son has at his house. And they work really excellent. I mean, it's a 40,000 BTU.
Mm-hmm. They still make, you know, there used to be these, you know, the direct vent, these direct vent wall furnaces that were very common. That's what you're talking about, right? Is it like a, is it rectangular in shape?
Yes.
And it has a vent.
It's like an air conditioner.
Right. But it has a vent at the bottom and a vent at the top.
It, the outside. Yes.
Right. Well, we got to get the gas. So we can't have the gas leak. That's a big no-no. We don't want to. It's shut off, correct?
Yes, I got it all disconnected.
Okay,
and I was wondering if there's another company that makes a heater that I can go into the garage, because years ago, I mean, I had other flames, you know, that open flame in there. Nothing ever happened, but to be safe on for the insurances and an insurance company, I don't want anything that's open. I got newer vehicles, but I don't want to take a chance.
Mm-hmm. Are you dead? And you use this a lot in the winter?
Yes. It goes on automatically. I set it up, and if I'm working in a garage, it's an attached garage. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a really high ceiling, because half of the garage is like outside, and then the other half is there's a bedroom upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working. I've had it since 2011, and I had the previous one. But then I guess Cozy went out of business on that one. Is there anything else that I could replace it with?
Well, there's a ton of them, and there's a lot of them that are ventless now that probably is the better way to go for this. And it's just a wall. There's a company called Dynaglow, and they, so it's natural gas. How many BTUs is this thing?
40,000.
Okay, so I had a back porch, and I had one of these Dynaglow gas ventless units that just mount on the wall. They're like $200-$300 bucks. And
yes,
they're 30,000 BTUs. I don't know that they go all the way up to 40,000 BTUs, but you turn it on, and instead of an open, there is a flame, but it's more of a glow. Like, it's not a, I mean, you could put a cigarette and light it on there if you went through the grate and everything, but there are also electric heaters that are pretty efficient. They can get you that as well with no open flame, you know, if that's what you're concerned with in the garage.
Well, the electric is, we had one, we have a sunroom, and we have a Frigidaire that is an air conditioner and a 240-volt heater. And we had that on. We had that heating in our room, and I think our first bill was around $200 and some dollars. How much was it? More? Like more. My wife says more than
okay.
that for but, trying to get a room that's 20 by
right.
12.
Is the garage insulated and drywalled?
Yes.
Okay. You know what you're a fan? You know what you're a, what I would do is I would put in one of these mini split systems by Mitsubishi. That is super mm-hmm. efficient. Goes right at, they drill 1 3-inch hole in the wall. It'll not only heat the room, but it'll cool the room if you wanted to air condition it as well. And there's no open flame. It's quiet as a church mouse.
and you have no issue with gas whatsoever, and your energy bill, you won't even know the thing is on. Now, will it get it to 80 degrees, you know, when it's 20 degrees below zero outside with a garage door? Probably not, but it'll be super comfortable 95% of the time in that garage. Do you have a pen or a pencil?
And how much would that cost me?
Installed in a garage? $4,000.
$4,000? And what about the outside? Don't you need like a compressor or something?
There's a little condenser that they put on there that'll be fine. You'll be fine. Go to getacomfyhome.com. Hey, that's our last call, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric.